Welcome to Brennan Abled with me, Gabriel Cohen.
And with me, Holly Osborne.
This is where we talk with brand leaders willing to share the real-world lessons from being in the trenches.
Their triumphs and setbacks in the messy business of building brands.
These are the human stories behind branding that you will never find in any brief or case study.
Welcome to this very special episode of the Brand Enabled podcast, live here from Washington, D.C. at our 2025 Brand Enablers Summit. We've had a great first day here, and I'm here with John Barger from ResMed and Paige Luter from Logitech, and we're going to have a little chat here about our first day. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
How are you? This is like Christmas. It's like Christmas Day for brand leaders, right?
Definitely.
Being here together.
Yeah, can't wait. We've been evaluating fonts all day, ready to get into the guidelines.
It's been a really productive day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
John, tell us about ResMed. Tell us about your role.
Yeah, so hi everyone, my name is John Barger. I work at ResMed. ResMed, we help people sleep better, breathe better, and receive care in their home. And I lead brand there. And so I'm in charge of anything from the beautiful guidelines that we just had. We just launched our brand, relaunched our brand in March 2025. So brand guidelines, governance, all of that piece into campaigns and even our employer brand. So a lot of what we show up in and outside of the walls of ResMed is what I touch.
And Paige, I knew Logitech back from, you know, when I first started working, mouse and keyboards, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah,
right?
So Logitech is, our two main areas are in work and play. So that can range from your home desktop, which is what most people imagine, mice and keyboards, but also headsets and webcams, to a conference room setup, you know, video conferencing. We really boomed. We were one of the lucky companies during COVID that our business really scaled. And then the last piece is gaming. We are the number one gaming peripherals company. So we're in really three key areas of business, and they've all grown tremendously. COVID was a huge bonus to our business, and then those trends continue with the use of, you know, hybrid working. People need to have setups back, not only in their homes, but at their businesses. Being able to be mobile and take their peripheral equipment with them so they can work in a cafe or at someone else's office. And then gaming, as we all know, is like the biggest stimulated business in the world right now. I mean, esports alone is just dwarfing any other sports known to man. And so being in the gaming business is really positive as well.
And we're here for the Brand Enabler Summit, which is this very special community that we're a part of. We meet monthly virtually, but it's always very special to actually connect and be here in person. Okay, for each of you, what's been the highlight of the day so far?
For me, I mean, honestly, it was Paige's session on AI and Logitech and how they implement AI within their brand group to create this brand guru. So beyond kind of just thinking about their guidelines and have people, normal people, like interact with the brand into content creation and how you're using it to generate and stimulate ideas for storyboards and all of that, cutting down the number of assets that you need to create. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So kudos.
Yeah. Well, I thank you. And it was really fun putting that together. The big highlight for me is this is my very first time at in person with the Brand Enablers, and I've been meeting everyone virtually for the last, you know, several months, but it's been so great to meet everyone in person and to feel like I'm not alone in this brand building business, right? Sometimes it's a very lonely job because we typically are like the only team in the entire organization that does what we do. And so to have peers that I can reach out to and ask questions and feel like, you know, no question is a dumb question, because when you're internal, you feel like you have to know all the answers,
yeah,
right?
True.
Because people are coming to me to know what the right thing is to do. So it's been just such a privilege to know that I have like a team that I can reach out to now.
So you both work for product companies. What are some of the unique challenges of being a brand leader in a company that actually manufactures stuff?
So I think it's really hard thing to wrap your head around if you've never worked in a product that actually manufactures goods. If you've worked in a software or services company, is one of the largest challenges that we have on a day-to-day basis from a brand perspective is packaging. And packaging is essentially the first interaction someone might actually have with our products on shelf. Logitech, we ship over 3 million products a week. So we have packages upon packages upon packages. And changing, like if you do a brand refresh, changing packaging across thousands of product lines takes a lot of time and energy, and it's a huge cost initiative. So from a brand refresh perspective, like we did a brand refresh last year, we're now doing a packaging research study where we will start implementing a new packaging change in the next year. And we anticipate it will take anywhere from 3 to 5 years to implement all the package changes around the globe through the distribution systems and have it out in the marketplace. So you have to have a long-term point of view because you know it's not going to happen overnight. We can't just flip a switch and every single package on the shelf changes. And then you also have to build that into the understanding across the organization. Like, you know, we're not going to have a new shelf next week. It's going to take time and it's going to take. We want to do it right because changing packaging is one of the hardest and most costly things to do within an organization.
When you think about how many of your products maybe nowadays are sold online as opposed to your retail stores, has that had any impact as how you think about design or brand?
Yes, so we have different packages depending on the distribution channel. So if we're talking business to consumer on retail shelf, then we have our full, you know, most detailed package with the most features and you know, the most information about sustainability or the features on the product or, you know, trying to make the imagery on the product look like actual size so that you can get a vision of that. Versus if we're selling business to consumer but online, we sell everything in a brown box with very limited feature sets on it. It costs less to produce that packaging because you've already ordered it. So all you need is the best open box experience to get your product going. And then for business to business, we typically are shipping things in multi-packs. So you have to think through all of those different levels.
John, what about you? You don't necessarily have exactly the same amount of volume, but you've got a more complex product, and you've just gone through a brand refresh right now. So how has that been taken into account with being a product company?
Yeah, so I think some of the similar things that Paige just talked about, but layer on another complexity of we manufacture medical products, mm-hmm. and so we have regulatory bodies. Our products typically take, you know, 18 months from final delivery to actually landing in the market because of all of the different regulations and 510K approvals and things that we have to submit for. So from a branding perspective, you know, retooling a machine so that it has the new logo versus the old logo is going to be across a number of different SKUs that make up that one product. And then the packaging, as Paige was kind of talking about, and then to deliver that fully branded experience is going to take several years. So, you know, some of the things that we talked to our leadership about was that we're not going to invest in redoing every single thing that's in the market today. It's truly about making a conscious choice of any future product that is going to be launching in the next 2 years to submit it with the new brand, potentially with a new product name, following the new brand architecture. And so we look at it in a couple of different ways, but that's one of the first kind of instances that people will see and experience our brand is not just from a digital side, which they can see and that's really easy to change, but in a physical product that might be sitting on their nightstand or used in a doctor's office.
And then as you think about the fact that we even updated the logo, what are some of the nuances that you had to think about in the as we thought about the development of this new visual identity and the logo as it relates to product?
Yeah. So with product, we had a test on a number of different surfaces. So we deal with a number of materials. So silicone is one of them, you know, small plastics. And so if you think about a component in your phone or even on like a backpack, for instance, like a zipper, like super small, how does the logo scale to that? Can we apply it? And then can we implement the brand in that way? And so previous branding challenges that we had with the old logo is like, it was a big swoosh. And so you couldn't implement that on a product. especially a small mask that would go on your face. Think of something that's really minimal.
A lot of space,
yeah. And so we had to put it in the back, and you would never know. And so what we did was we actually made small tweaks to it so that you can actually have it like stand on its own. And so you can put it on the front of a mask and not know that it's, or still know that it's a ResMed device by just having like that logo mark, where previously we had a very big logo. So solving for some of the challenges. And then from an accessibility standpoint as well, like making sure that anything that we have from a digital perspective of how the logo shows up is adherent to, you know, some very strict guidelines for usability of our products.
We've had similar challenges that are interesting about how you implement on product. Most people don't realize this, but Logitech is known around the world as Logitech, except for one country. And in one country, we're known as Logicool. That is in Japan. And that's because Logitech was already trademarked by another competitor when we started the business there 40-ish years ago. So in order to address, again, trying to be as cost-efficient in tooling and processing as possible, when I started on board, we were printing Logitech on every single product, and then we'd have to have another set of tooling and print Logicool, and that whole inventory would also always have to be kept separated, different packaging. So several years ago, we made the decision to just use Logi as kind of our Nike swoosh. It's kind of our shortened version of the mark. And now we're able to save costs for the company by just implementing that across every product line. And now it doesn't matter. You can ship the same product globally without having to worry about the full trademark.
And over the last few years, like Logi, you know, it's been shortened to Logi, like was that a discussion that was like where you thought about changing the company name, showing it just to Logi, and both are still in existence?
It's quite a challenge and something we talk about internally often, because we were, as employees and as a company, we refer to ourselves as Logi all the time. I work at Logi, or, you know, Logi Cares is like our, you know, our internal giving program. But then when we go out into the world and go to market, we're always Logitech. And we've had many, many discussions, and I still continue to have discussions today about Logi versus Logitech. But what we know is that Logitech is the corporate name, and we are implementing Logi in different ways. So it's on all of our products. So we're building up brand recognition that way. And then in different events and environments, we might say this is called Logi Launch, or this is, we have another program called Logi Work. We have another program called Logi Play. So we're trying to build little bit of brand affinity for those, but then they still fall within the structure and strategy of Logitech. I don't know if we'll ever get to the point, we're not gonna change the company because the cost of changing the company is dramatic, but we're trying to build that brand recognition so that you know Logi and Logitech are essentially the same, and then we can use things interchangeably. But when you're talking at the corporate level, we're always Logitech.
So one of the challenges that everyone's facing as a product company over the last few years has been everyone's adding a software or interface layer, which is causing, probably for you as brand leaders, a big challenge in terms of brand architecture, naming architecture, and especially in decentralized environments where everyone wants to go and name their own things. And like, how do you keep those things connected and influence them and integrate it into your own strategy?
Yeah, so for us at ResMed, this is an area that we're continuing to grow into. We have a whole software part of our business, but as you mentioned, you know, our hardware products now have companion apps, and then they have enabling capabilities within those companion apps that are used across a number of different products. And so you don't just want to name the app, you want to name that part of the app. So working really hand in hand with the product organization to kind of educate them on our brand architecture and the naming strategy that we have within that. But we don't have an answer. It's tough. A lot of challenges come up very quickly, and product ships a lot faster than the hardware piece. The lead time is a lot less, and so it's something that we are definitely learning as an organization how to tackle.
How about you, Paige?
Well, I'd agree with John. There is definitely a different nuance when we were talking about software. Logitech, we've always noted that software is a big piece of our hardware. You wouldn't realize that. It's very similarly, but for every piece of hardware we make now, there is some type of software behind it, and always has been in some regard, but that we just keep growing and expanding that. We have, not necessarily, we're trying to get away from individual apps for individual products. So part of the brand strategy is that we're trying to build ecosystem pieces of software so that like all of our products work on one software platform, which wasn't always the matter in the past. You know, we'd have an app for this product line and an app for that product line and an app for that product line. And that's not how consumers or businesses want to work. They just want whatever they've purchased from Logitech to have a singular type of interface. And so we've been doing a lot of work in that area. And naming is always a challenge. Because everybody, it just with any product team, they all have their ideas about how they want to do it. So building a strategy and a structure, like what, again, similarly to how we went to a single, the Logi name on the products to avoid having to have multiple names across the globe for our two different brands, is we take the same approach for software. Everything is Logi something something, because then that way we can have the same app cover all marketplaces. Mm. So it's just kind of, again, it's part of the brand strategy. You have to build it in, you have to think about it, and then you have to implement that with the specific teams. I had a team just recently reached out to me and said, we want to call the new piece of software Logitech this, 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 and I had to remind them, no, we already have a strategy, and so we're going to change it. It's going to be Logi XYZ, and that's the process going forward.
Are you facing any similar challenges as it relates now to the AI layer? Because now everyone is adding an AI element, and they want to name their AI thing something special. How are you dealing with the addition of AI? Is it impacting you yet?
Yeah, it isn't impacting me so much from a product level, because much of the AI, we've been using AI in our products, and it's kind of built into the systems. For instance, our video conferencing systems utilize AI to understand like how many people are sitting in a room to provide feedback to the IT user that.
It's just a feature. You don't need to brand it.
We don't need to brand it so much. But I'm sure there's going to be instances in the future where we will, and we're going to have to think through those.
John, has it hit you yet?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think with a number of products now implementing AI, they want to call that AI implementation something different across those products. But what I say is, like, this is just status quo. You know, like, we don't say we're Wi-Fi calling. We just know that we're using Wi-Fi. And so I think it's a utility. Yeah, it's a utility.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. It's an enabling technology that allows different systems to do different things, but having to name it a specific thing is not necessarily required.
Yeah. And some of that can be used for labeling purposes. Again, if it's something that's like, from a medical view of, I'm looking at all of this patient data to then come to you with personalized results, then we can look at that. But it would be more towards like the benefit-centric labeling versus like the technology specifically that's enabling that capability.
Or a feature. It could be a feature, and we would tackle it more as a feature name than a product name.
Now, a lot of times we talk about sometimes we have it, sometimes we wish for having executive support as a way to support brand. That you've both had it, we talked a lot about this today, and you've both had it in different ways. You have it at the heart of your business strategy. Now maybe talk a bit about that, Paige, and how that's changed and enabled you then to be successful in your role.
Yeah, so as we had a new CEO come on, she's about a year and a half in now. She came from brand being really a strong part of her background and what she believes is important. And that part of our corporate strategy that she implemented with help, which was one of the best things that I will say, is that she created a strategy when she came on board after 6 months, and then asked for all employees to help weigh in on the strategy so that we all felt that it was a piece, like we all had a piece in it, and that we aligned to it. And there was some changes made based on the feedback from employees. But one of the key things that came out of it is at the center of the strategy is that one of our goals is to be an iconic brand. And so that has enabled myself, my team, and most of us who work in the creative and design organization to really be able to spearhead efforts to achieve that, because it's named as a corporate goal and not just like my department's goal, right? So it's really being engaged and implemented across the organization. And people talk about it constantly now, which is, you know, how are we doing on becoming an iconic brand? I'm like, well, it doesn't happen overnight. That's the part that we all have to be patient about, is that it takes time and effort, and you have to put a lot of things into place and good strategies and good identities and all of those things, and maybe a little bit of communication.
How has that changed your day today? Because you've been there for 12 years.
11, yeah.
11. So yeah. You've been, is it fair to say that, you know, like, and then all of a sudden it's kind of peaked like that?
Yeah.
How has that been manifested?
Well, it's just, it's great in that I feel empowered to do my job at a level that I didn't feel as empowered previously. It's like I could put checks and balances on things and maybe say, you know, this is a little off brand or this isn't quite on strategy. But I always felt like I was doing it a little bit on an island.
So the role was limited as
well. Yeah, and now it's really kind of opened up the opportunities of the things that I think, you know, we should be doing as an organization, getting more into things like we were talking earlier about employer brand, right? Because brand is not just a logo. As you said earlier, it's not just a tagline. It encompasses so many things. It's every interaction anyone has with your company. And so I think having executive level buy-in and push to have everyone pay attention to the brand is just enabling us to do it better and more and have a bigger impact.
So patience is the lesson, right?
Patience is the lesson.
It's you need to wait for that change. How about you, John? Like, how has that been manifested as part of your, really as part of the rebrand launch to ensure that everyone understands the importance of this?
Yeah, I mean, with us, our CEO, Mick, was involved from the very beginning. And, you know, he was a huge champion, and I think he became even more of a champion as we went through the process. And, you know, he was very responsive to a lot of the feedback that we gave or even just challenges that we had. And truly is like the brand champion, the biggest brand champion today. And we had, when we launched the brand, like this video that he recorded that was truly embodying what we wanted to have within the rollout. And, you know, that really resonated with employees. It resonated internally with our investors, with our users. And so, you know, I think as we continue to bring the brand to life over the next, you know, few years, he is one of the biggest champions of that, and then has empowered the rest of his leadership team to also, you know, really listen into how we're showing up as a brand. What does that look like? What does that mean? From anyone from a product leader to a people leader to, you know, somebody in finance or strategy. And so it's truly, you know, empowered our brand team to have the authority to speak into these different areas, but then also have them view us as collaborators across the org. So not as somebody who's telling you exactly what to do, but somebody who can work with you to solve for the best solution, right? To allow people to rise to their highest potential.
And now I love the idea of like little hidden brand touch points. You had the idea of putting the brand on and giving out luggage tags. What was that story all about?
Yeah, it's really just about, you know, we see people travel, especially sales reps, like they see people travel in airports. And so they have this special bag that a lot of our products are in when they're traveling and, you know, being able to call that out. So it's a pretty medical looking bag, but we wanted to create kind of like this premiumness to it. So we created.
So this is someone who's carrying their CPAP machine.
Yeah, through the airport.
They're traveling,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Taking it with them. Okay.
Yeah, and so you got to check it through security. That's this whole thing. But, you know, you want to make sure that, like, you bring it because it's life-saving. You know,
right.
You need it. But, you know, I wanted to have people, a reason why people can, like, connect with that brand. And so, or with our, you know, machines and stuff. And so we have a bunch of luggage tags that we are handing out to sales reps as they're traveling around so that they can give them away. And, you know, hear their story and understand kind of the impact that they make on a daily basis. So it's a little bit of a better way to connect with our brand and tell them the story of the new logo and everything like that if they maybe haven't seen it, and truly kind of drive those magic moments, if you will, that we can embody in our brand.
That's wonderful.
It's a really authentic way for you to show up for a customer, is to, you know, be there with them at that moment when they're traveling with it and say, you know, how have we been able to help you? How could we help you better? Right? That opportunity to engage with a customer in that moment is so huge.
100%, yeah.
No, that's fantastic. I love it.
So, Paige, this is your first in-person mm-hmm. Brand Enablers Summit here with us in this community. Talk a little bit about why you joined this community. How have you enjoyed your first day and just all the interactions that we've had virtually as well? Like, are you glad you're here? Talk a bit about this community and what it means to you.
Yeah, no, I'm just so glad to be part of the Brand Enablers. As you know, we talked about this for a couple years before I was able to join. And, you know, oftentimes as a head of brand, we're kind of an insulated island in our corporate environments because we're really the only people who do our job. And so having the ability to talk to others and hear the same pain points, know that you're not alone. But then also we've spent like the last couple hours just chatting about how are each of us solving a similar challenge within our organization. And, you know, I took down like 15 different ways that I can take back with me. So that's always one of the most important things. Whenever I'm attending a conference or a thing, most of the time I'm lucky if I walk away with one at the end of the day, right? I'm sitting in some meeting room with 400 people, and I'm like, okay, there's one thing that I'm going to walk away. And I feel like today I'm going to come home with like a list of things. And not only that, is I have some, like John, I'll just reach out to him next week and say, hey, we were talking about XYZ, and you mentioned this. I want to dig into it a little bit deeper. And that's never going to happen with the person that I just met over the coffee at the, you know, 1,000-person symposium. Yeah. So this is really, really meaningful and super helpful to help me grow myself as a brand leader, to help me grow my team, to help implement better programs within the organization. It's kind of life-changing, I guess, in some ways.
How about you, Jim?
I mean, it's a great combination of part therapy, you know, so we share the war stories, but it's also just like such an area of growth. As, you know, Paige mentioned, there's nothing like getting in a room, talking with people, solving some of the problems, hearing different perspectives from a variety of industries, right? Yeah. There's so much value within that that you can't get from listening to a podcast. No offense, I know we're doing the podcast, but, you know, there's a lot of nuggets there that you can tangibly take exactly what you said to your team, because that's the true value of this, right? It's not just about us. It's about how we cascade it to the rest of our teams, to our organizations, and, you know, the way that it affects how we show up. So there's a true amount of, like, learning that goes into this. And, you know, monthly, virtually is great, but there's no power like in person.
Like in person.
100%.
Yeah. Well, coming from the person that makes, you know, cameras and your ability to actually have those hybrid interactions, it's still, we always say, it's still never the as good as when you're in
person.
Well,
we did the perfect combination today because we were
did.
In person, but you brought in the team as well to one of the sessions. Well, speaking of therapy, why don't we stop here because we have our evening therapy session now that we need to get to. So thank you both so much for being here and for being part of this group and for this special live edition of the Brand Enable podcast
with
the Brand Enablers. See you next time.
Bye.
That is it for today's show. We started this podcast because we know that you are not alone in the challenges that you face. And the likelihood is that somebody somewhere has dealt with the same obstacles you're facing and might have even found a way to solve for it. For that reason, we've also created a community of brand leads who meet on a regular basis to share and learn from each other. So if you'd like to join that community or are interested in learning more, or if there is a brand challenge you'd like us to cover in one of our future episodes, please do get in touch with us at gabriel@brandenabled.co. That's gabriel@brandenabled.co. If you liked today's episode, please share it with your colleagues and friends and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us and see you next time.